Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA.
NBA preseason preview part number two.
And that would be the very interesting, probably contentious when we hit certain divisions, Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
We might as well get straight into it, and that unfortunately is the top conference, and that would be the Atlantic Division, starting with the Brooklyn Nets.
Title favorites?
Just get them all out of the way. Do I have to? Well, I guess so. I mean, yeah, yes, have to be, I guess.
Even without, one of the so-called big three that's there.
Me, I Vegas say yes. Me, no.
But I think it just comes down to clutch. Look, they were a Kevin Durant, you know, size smaller, you know, than size 18 or whatever shoe that he was last year from you know, possibly being in the NBA finals. So that they're there or thereabouts, but I don't think they did a whole lot to address the lack of depth throughout this roster. Like, they are very high powered starting, and then really not so much else after that.
Well, I mean, the only one that's so much else after that is our boy Patty Mills.
Oh, such a great signing. Oh man, that makes me sick that he's gone there.
Oh, but Steve Nash would have seen exactly what he could produce and what he can be for that team, and a sneaky leader. Yeah, I know you got Durant and Harden there, but Patty Mills to me is a guy that can bring people together, honestly, and that's exactly what I reckon they would have seen in him. I guarantee it. I know he could shoot the ball at the three, but God, hasn't he has he developed it a lot better during the offseason? I don't know. What the hell happened?
I don't know.
God damn, his three's good.
Hopefully he brings in Olympic Patty Mills into the NBA season, because Olympic Patty Mills or Boomer's Patty Mills is the man. So he's going to be buried on the bench, which is a little disappointing again. But, that's just that you've seen him.
I reckon he'll get decent minutes.
We've seen him thrive in that environment.
Yeah, I think he'll still get decent minutes.
Absolutely. Look,
Kyrie doesn't look like he's going to play for the foreseeable future due to New York, even though Brooklyn is New York. If anyone else says no, that's wrong. But due to New York's mandate of not having if you do not have one vaccine, you can't technically be employed.
It's a New York state thing. It's not an NBA thing or anything of that. So it's
It's a New York mandate. That's what I mean. Yeah, so. There's certain team, and which is very interesting. He is Kyrie Irving. I mean, we know what Kyrie Irving's like. We also know, this is for me that I want to say this, you know, for all the way Kyrie Irving is and all this, and he doesn't want to have the COVID shot. Kyrie Irving is a brilliant player. I just think people don't realize that. But I don't know. I think people don't forget, like, he really is one of the best players in this league.
He's one of the best. He's one of the best finishing, you know, small men around the hoop that the game's ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, he's got such great finesse and touch.
Handles. One of the best guys that has handles that I think I've ever seen. So
he's got the lot. It's not even streaky. Like, he is amazing with what he does. And yeah, for him to you know, I guess, yeah, him being his woke self in what he seems to be like as of late and you know, what sort of... Well, it's me. I don't know who's filling his head with a lot of the garbage that he seems to sort of come out there and sprout. And, you know, we've sort of said it before at the back end of an NFL pod that I think he thinks that he's smarter than what he actually is. I think he thinks that he is a certified genius and... I think he's just got some sort of, I don't know, some sort of, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
he doesn't like to be told what to do with this. When he had those mental issues, he just decided to go away. He doesn't like to be told what to do. I mean, that's really how he is. He doesn't like to be told what to do. In saying that, right, so technically he won't be playing for the Brooklyn Nets. And if he doesn't want to have the needle, okay. So what happens? Does he stay there? Really? I mean, does he get traded?
He can just nuke the whole situation in going, well, if they're going to trade him, then he can just say, look, you trade me where I want to go. Or I'm just going to say I'm just going to put it out there to say, look, you know, if you trade me to a trash team, then I'm just not going to play. And that puts Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets brass in a massively difficult situation.
So what do you think? Do you think he stays or do you think he goes?
I still think he goes. If he's sticking to his guns like he is now, what changes his mind?
That's it.
It's not going to be Steve Nash. It's got to be KD and James Harden. They're going to have to be the ones that change his mind on this.
But if he really, really doesn't want to change his mind, which I this is different to like what he had last year where he had, you know, he wanted time away. This is something, you know, he doesn't want to have the needle in the body. I think he gets traded. I don't know where.
I don't think there's any other choice.
I don't know where, but that is the...
But that's the problem. That's where they'll have to be talking to him. And by the sounds of it at the moment, it's not a pleasurable thing for them to be talking to him at the moment, because some of the stuff that he sort of spews out on Instagram and everything like that is extremely toxic and extremely divisive.
So with this, and you know, they have the highest win total for any team in the NBA. They are sitting at 55.5 wins.
I think they could push north of 60 wins. I think it's over.
I think it's over. I think this may be a distraction, but I think if they find a deal, which I think they can, I think they push. Yeah, I think they push. Yeah, I agree. Put close to 60.
But that's the thing. It's going to be such a limited amount of teams that are going to want to go in on Kyrie Irving. He's proven throughout his career that he can't play a full season. He's got all these, yeah, these harebrained ideas and ideologies that he comes out in. Is it more of a headache than what he's worth? I don't know. Like, Boston just went through this. Now Brooklyn's going through this.
Well, I said it. It only took him 1 year. It took him one season, and he's doing the same thing again that he did in Boston. But I don't know. Does he go to the next team that, you know, the most contentious team that's happening in the NBA, the Philadelphia 76ers?
Well, and then, yeah, there's talks out there that could be, you know, we said in the Western Conference pod that there's talk of, you know, Dame Lillard straight up for Ben Simmons. Could this be an answer? Kyrie Irving straight up for Ben Simmons.
Do you like it before I give you what I think?
Yeah, I do.
I think that gives
Philadelphia the need that they've been craving.
I wouldn't say it's a like for like, because Kyrie's definitely better than Ben Simmons, but I think it's great for both parties. I think you just said it then for the 76ers, but on the other side, I think Ben then doesn't have to really control the ball because he's got James Harden and KD there, and he can defend the lights out, which is what they need at Brooklyn Nets. I think that's right,
but that's the thing. Brooklyn doesn't have, you know, a dominant big man clogging up the lane as well. You know, like Philadelphia's got in Joel Embiid. That's half the problem. They need to make way for each other. And look, you know,
I think that's absolutely perfect team for him. I know he still reckons he wants to go to the West for some reason, like, you know, to the Californian coast, so to speak. But I think that team is the absolute perfect team for Ben Simmons. Perfect. I don't see any other way it shouldn't be. But at the moment, you know, we'll concentrate on the 76ers. So technically at the moment, I think their starting point guard really would be Tyrese Maxey, correct?
Yeah, no, that'd be who'd be stepping into that.
So, yeah, they, you know, they've got Tyrese Maxey there. They've got Seth Curry.
Korkmaz as well. Korkmaz, I think he can run the point as well.
Yeah, they didn't really do much in the off season. I mean, obviously they were going to re-sign Joel Embiid to that fat contract, and that was always going to happen.
Well, of course.
Do you like Do you like that sneaky backup to Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond?
Yeah, look, I think that can work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
One of those egoless players. I think he can just go out there and do a job. He don't need to score. Just defend it and clean up rebounds.
I like Andre Drummond. I honestly think Andre Drummond, excuse me, can be a starting center somewhere. I really do think that. Something obviously happened. Well, you know.
And look, and he's going to get look. Let's be honest here. He's gonna get some starts. Like let's be real here. Like Joel Embiid has proven that he can't stay healthy. Like even last year, he only played 51 games out of a possible 72. Had a career year. You know, was he second or third in MVP voting last year? So he was right up there. Joel is it's just inevitable that he's going to have time off. So you know, Andre Drummond can step into there and look, they won't lose a whole lot in rebounding. They're definitely going to lose a lot in scoring when Joel Embiid goes out. But you know, they've still got Tobias Harris there. Still got my boy Seth Curry. They've got, like you said, not a whole lot of movement, free agent wise or anything like that. But it's just keeping in check this blaze that's happening at the moment. That Ben Simmons is really I see this as a total and utter personality transplant.
You talking about for Ben Simmons?
For Ben Simmons,
I think there's more to what's going on with him that we're led to believe that's been put out there. I think there's more underlying things that we haven't been told about.
No, we have. It all started from them underachieving last year, but after being bounced by Atlanta in the conference semis, and Ben Simmons not being able to take the criticism.
I think, but my thing with him, I think, and you're right, and that's exactly what it is. I think he's scared and he doesn't like criticism. I think he's got his bonnet when it came out publicly that he was going to get traded to Houston for James Harden. And that deal was nearly done.
It was nearly done.
And that's when I think, and I'm not saying it's broke down, but that's when I think he's got his bee in his bonnet for that. Because
that happened. And then all the criticism that came out, but you know, he wants to go out there and say that, oh, you know, Doc Rivers and everybody threw him under the bus after them being bounced by Atlanta. But you're the guy who's passing up open layups and playing like trash.
That's exactly right. Against
Atlanta and passing up open layups. Because you're scared of being fouled and going to the free throw line and throwing up bricks from there, the best thing we said it before. I said it before. The best thing that he could have done was go with the Boomers, go to Tokyo, get yourself some confidence back, and play with that Boomer squad. They all would have rallied around him. They would have shut out all the noise from the outside. But no. He decided to be a sookie la-la. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm pulling out of there. Oh, I'm going to go be seen at Wimbledon, you know, hugging and kissing, everything, doing all that sort of BS, making sure I got my face up there on Instagram and Twitter and garbage like that. And then when it all started coming to shove and the relationship started to break down, I've got no doubt that this is the doing of Rich Paul.
I have no doubt either.
That's where the personality transplants come into. Rich Paul just seems to be able to do that to people, and it's no more evident than Anthony Davis. And this is the same thing that's happening here.
But Rich Paul hasn't come up against another personality, and that is Daryl Morey. So I honestly think those two egos have dug their heels in, and I think I remember reading.
They both have. Absolutely.
I remember reading that Daryl Morey said he don't care if this takes 4 years. He wants a lot.
And it looks like the Philadelphia, they've just come out and said, look, we're done. Joel Embiid come out after he was kicked out of practice this week, before a ball has even been bounced in the regular season. And Ben Simmons has gone out there and created just, you know, just tire fire after tire fire, and it's so hard for them to put out. He got kicked out of practice by Doc Rivers. He didn't want to participate in a defensive drill, didn't want to sub him. Doc Rivers told him to go home. He dropped the ball, you know, picked up his bag of lollies and went home like a baby. It's a total personality transplant. You just didn't see this from him last year, even at the end of last year, and then all of a sudden he wants to be so pretentious like this. Like, get the F over yourself. Show up to work. Be professional.
It's both sides. This, but even before all this, when, you know, when they, the way they went to him and said, you know, there was the whole thing, you know, being up front about, like, yeah, we were going to trade you. Then him, you know, them coming to do a peace dinner and say, no, we really want you on the side. It's both sides. Both sides have screwed this royally.
Yeah, so but there's different ways to handle it as well.
Of course.
The only reason he came back is because they were withholding money from him, and they were slugging him for a fine every day he didn't show up. It's like, oh, hang on a minute, I'm starting to miss out on money here. I better show up.
Like anybody would, but you're exactly right.
No, well, that's the thing. That's the part of it that's sort of disappointing about it is not showing up. Then the 76ers are well within their rights to do what they're doing. Just show up and, you know, and be, they can't fine you and they can, for playing like ass.
No, that's exactly right.
And not putting in the effort. At least you're there. But he's not even wanting to do that.
So with all this, they're sitting at 51.5 wins.
I think it's under.
I think I have to go under for the pure fact of what Daryl Morey has basically said. He said basically he won't care if you know, if they have to hold on
to Ben
Simmons.
If he sits him. That's right. His trade value, we've said in the Western Conference, Bob. His trade value is in the toilet right now. This strategy that Clutch Sports and Rich Paul has come up with is not working.
Okay, but then you're right. But then it's not working for the Sixers either. But they're holding fast. That's what I mean. It's for that reason and all these issues, it has to be under 51 games. They'll make the conference finals, but I'm not saying the actual finals.
It's the same. But. It's for me, and you know, it's the same thing with their big gun. Until I lay eyes on it that he can stay healthy and play.
Oh, but isn't he such a dominant player? 65
plus 70 games. I can't trust it. I can't trust him not to be, you know, a participant from the bench and the bench only.
Isn't he such a dominant player? But my God.
Oh, he is. He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
For his size, the way that he goes and, you know, he limbers down the court, and then all of a sudden he's got this unbelievable footwork, quick, boom. And you're like, what the hell was that?
I know. He has a very good 3-point touch. Yeah, he's.
I mean, yeah. He can go out there and say he's MVP caliber all he wants. Stay on the court, be healthy.
That's exactly right. Next team
that's
is.
That's why he'll never be. That's why he'll never get there unless he can play 65-70 games. And he's proven that he can't do that.
That was what happened last year. They said if he didn't get injured and he played his extra 20 games, he would have been probably the MVP over Joker.
Yeah, most likely.
Next team is the Boston Celtics.
Boy, didn't they regress last year?
Oh, they regressed big time. I love their backcourt is great.
Hitching their wagon to two guys is fraught with danger.
Sorry?
Hitching their wagon to two guys is fraught with danger.
But I get that, but those two guys are 23 years old. Those two guys and Jaylen Brown.
They think they're in a win-now situation, though.
I don't think they are, but that's the thing. I mean, they look, they obviously traded away Kemba Walker because that was a big mistake. God, they can't seem to... Like any big free agency signings in Gordon Hayward and Kemba Walker, they can't seem to get that right.
They can't get it right. No, that's right. And it's the Boston Celtics. Who doesn't want to come and play for the famed Boston Celtics? But that luster is gone. It's like the Lakers from a few years ago. No, just because it's got Celtics on the jersey, just because it's got Lakers on the jersey, people, there's plenty of other good options to go and play.
Yeah, you're right. They brought back from trading him away Al Horford and also Enes Kanter.
Just why?
I don't mind Al Horford. I just think
He's 35. Like he's going to give out sooner or later.
That's the problem with them. Look, they I don't hate their side. I mean, you got Robert Williams who probably needs to step up this year as a center, and they re-signed Marcus Smart, and they also picked up Dennis Schroeder as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, good backcourt there now. Always been a fan of Marcus Smart. I like, you know, that they picked up Josh Richardson as well from Dallas, so I like that as well. But
46 and a half. Oh, interesting. What do you think?
Oh, nah, that's under.
Really? Yeah. I'm gonna go over. I think they can go over that. I think they can go over that personally.
I like Aaron Naismith I hopefully he can make a step up.
Hopefully.
But there's no depth there. There's no depth. No. It's like Brooklyn. It's starting five heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just because I like Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum. But you're right. It's
oh, absolutely. It's, look, that's what I mean. They're starting
down the stretch. Yeah.
Yeah. You're gonna gas those young guys out when they've got too much to do. They've got too much on their plate already.
Next team is the New York Knickerbockers, or Knicks for anyone that doesn't know that. It's like a sentimental favorite team, isn't it?
Yeah, look, they are for me. Like
they are for me too. Just because I think it's the Knicks and it's the Madison Square Garden, they're sentimental favorites all the time. They're my Eastern favorite teams for a lot of reasons, but I mean, no more so than obviously last year. When they shocked everybody.
They shocked the world, and I think they shocked a lot of their fans as well. And you know, they're no more delusional than what Lakers fans are. So I guess that just comes with living in the big city. So look, they've got expectations on them now, and I don't know how well they're going to handle that.
Well, they picked up, we mentioned it before, they picked up Kemba Walker after free agency. They picked up a great, I thought this was a sneaky great trade in Evan Fournier.
Evan Fournier, I think, could be a big difference for them. They're going to sacrifice a little bit of defensive intensity for a little bit more offense. So we'll see how that sort of pans out. Derek Rose has recommitted there, so he's staying on there for another 3 years and $40-odd million, which is. Yeah, which will take him through to being 36. Like, he's 33 at the moment. So, look, Obi Toppin, I don't know what sort of NBA player he's going to be. All I see in him is, and it's such a bad comparison, but that's all I see it is JaVale McGee. That's all I see him being.
Yeah, even unless he changes his mind this year, I agree with you on that.
But that's just the way he plays, the way he runs about. He just looks so big and gangly at, 6'9", 6'10", and running around with that sort of athleticism. It just totally reminds me of a young JaVale McGee.
I think the biggest step up this year for this team, will be RJ Barrett. I'm a big fan of RJ Barrett's.
RJ Barrett needs to be more consistent. Look, Emmanuel quickly showed that he could be an impact player straight away as a rookie. I don't know how much more improvement you get out of Julius Randle. I think if he can stay consistent with the numbers that he puts up, you know, will obviously be the go-to man on this team. You know, Evan Fournier, we know what he's about.
Do you think they're a trade away from probably pushing that top four?
Possibly. Unless they can find some value in Kemba Walker. And he has a really good season, and then they can maybe look at trading someone like him. But I don't think they really want to get rid of any of their core guys. You know, Mitchell Robinson, he missed out on most of last year, so he's back in the lineup. Yeah, I don't think they want to get rid of Julius Randle. I think they're sort of committed. Yeah, they might be able to find some value in RJ Barrett and trading him away, but he's only on a rookie deal, so nobody's going to be going out there to try and pick him up unless he shows some, you know, a huge improvement. So I don't know where they go in trade-wise. Like, Kevin Knox has fallen off the face of the planet.
I read a sneaky trade of, and, you know, this is just read, so it's not true. It's like anything when people try to do trades. But it'd be a first-round pick, Obi Toppin and RJ Barrett for Dame Lillard.
There's no way Portland will take that. Give me a break.
Well, that's the thing. You're right. I agree. RJ Barrett would have to step up. And you'd have to add probably another draft, a first-round pick. But they're sitting at, a nice 42.5 wins. That's over for me.
I think that's over. It'll just be interesting to see how they react to expectation now. You know, Tibbs has worked. Yeah, you know, he's worked his magic defensively again with this squad. I don't want to say let's pump the brakes. But this all depends on how much extra firepower, like you said, they can get out of Evan Fournier, Kemba Walker, who's really regressed in the last couple of years after being, you know, that all-star caliber and playing with Charlotte and people that everybody was chasing the signature of Kemba Walker. And since he's left Charlotte, he just hasn't been that sort of player.
Too many injuries.
Look, he's not so much he's getting up there in age and 31, but, you know, he's very undersized. And, you know, once those injuries start to cripple the lower body a little bit, then you lose a little bit of athleticism and that explosiveness. And that's what he had at Charlotte. And he just hasn't got that at the moment. There's a couple of guys that really need to step up on this Knicks squad, you know, no more than that little bit of backcourt, you know, in RJ Barrett and Kemba Walker, because I think Evan Fournier will flourish here alongside Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a step up too in Emmanuel Quickley. Like he forced them to put him into lineups last year on how well he played as a rookie.
Yeah, that's why I was a bit concerned. Not concerned, but I was a bit perplexed, I guess, by picking up Kemba Walker. Yeah, I know what Kemba Walker can be, but look, Emmanuel Quickley proved what he could
be. Well, they missed out on all the big guns, didn't they? Like,
this is where they are. Exactly.
So that's what they've had to go with. They've had to go with a name rather than a proven commodity.
The next team in this last division is the Toronto Raptors. I'm already going
probably not going to be a very good team again, I think, this year. I think they're definitely on the road to recovery. Hopefully they can be a lot more home-based this year rather than being based in Tampa. I'm led to believe that they will be. So, I guess made the deal with Miami to ship Kyle Lowry off. Picked up some good youngsters from there. Like, they got Precious Achiuwa there from Miami, I think is a good high energy guy. Other than that, you know, they've picked up Goran Dragic as well. Yeah. So we'll see whether or not he stays there this year or whether he wants to sort of, you know, go out there and look at, you know, sort of forcing himself into a contender. I think that's definitely a possibility with Goran Dragic, that he won't really want to stay there on a losing team. So, Pascal Siakam sort of, you know, once he got paid last year, he sort of, you know, took a bit of a dive. So he'll definitely need to improve as well.
And he's injured at the moment too. So
that's right.
I like that. I said it before, but I like Scottie Barnes. I think that's a great pickup for them. And I think and this guy's probably a sneaky most improved. I think OG Anunoby.
OG Anunoby, like he's got all the tools, but he's been hurt as well. So if he can stay healthy, Gary Trent Jr. they picked up as well from Portland. So I think that's a good signing. They've also they've still got Fred VanVleet there, so they're not going to be void of any scoring. But I just think that they're in for another low again season.
36.5.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no that's, way. That's, way
that's,
under.
That's interesting.
That is very generous.
Next team is the Milwaukee Bucks, last year's NBA champions.
Reigning, defending NBA champions.
That really didn't do a huge I guess, and didn't really need to amount in the offseason.
One of my first sneaky good pickups for the Eastern Conference is Grayson Allen.
I knew you were going to say Grayson Allen. I knew you were. I don't know why.
I love him.
Why do you love him?
I don't know. I don't get it. It must just be the Blue Devils connection because I love Duke. So I just.
I don't get it. I knew you were going to say it. I swear to God, I knew that was coming out of your mouth. I bet you I was gonna
he
say,
is going to be so good for them off the bench.
I'm not disputing the guy, and I'm not disputing the talent. I just, he's got that anger streak that sometimes worries me about him. I don't know.
Look, yeah, he's definitely got bipolar or something like that. Like he's shown that he can have total brain snaps. And then it's, I mean, Coach Bud can sort of, you know, not so much coach that out of him, but just give him a little bit of purpose, and he's on a winner now. He's on a front runner, so yeah, no, I think that's the perfect situation for him.
The moment they see it, because they traded him too, then and then they re-signed him only a few days ago. So yeah, they see it in him, and you know what is he 26 now. So
like he's been in the league a few years now.
Yeah, it's because he's a Duke guy. That's the only reason. You're a massive fan of his.
I really like what he can provide for a team, and I'd like to see him get more minutes, and hopefully he does. Look, they picked up Rodney Hood as well, so he's sort of a year removed from a catastrophic Achilles injury, so hopefully he can get a little bit better and sort of provide them with some bench depth. And they got a massively great deal in retaining Bobby Portis, who was their energy guy last year.
And can do it again. They, you know, I know people keep saying Brooklyn, but you wouldn't dispute them as the sneaky, at least Eastern Conference favorites or even the NBA favorites. I still think they realistically can go back to back.
No, I think they can. That. Like Giannis, if Giannis is
that guy, my God,
he's an alien.
He's changed his I don't know if you've seen any preseason, but he's changed his free throw setup. He's not taking.
Oh, what has he taken? 15 seconds now instead of 11.
One dribble shoot. Literally. Yeah,
because he had to do that because he cannot go into opposing arenas and have counting all season. He just cannot have that.
How funny was that? I loved it.
That was one of the best things from last year's playoffs. That was so good.
So they're sitting at 54.5 wins.
Yeah, no, they'll go over that.
Yeah, I've got over easily. Next team is another team that I think this is a whole Reggie Miller. I like this team. I don't know why, but in my head, I like this team. And that's the Indiana Pacers.
Look, I guess there's that tie.
I'm not saying in general. I think it's just because it's a Reggie Miller thing. But I mean, Domantas Sabonis is a freak of a player and needs someone around him. It's not Miles Turner.
And that's the thing, he's not getting that help from someone like a Miles Turner or Malcolm Brogdon is good in so many ways, but I'm hoping that somebody like a Caris LeVert can come back from injury and really boost this team.
Yeah, big time.
Top four sort of thing, I'm a huge, huge fan of him. I'm a huge fan of Michigan as well. So, he's a former Wolverine. So that's where I sort of, get that. I've watched him for a while. So, I love the Wolverines and the Blue Devils as much as each other. So, the Wolverines probably more so because that goes back to the youth there a little bit of the Fab Five. So, I've always had one eye on that Michigan program for a while, and they've got some good players around the league. But yeah, Caris LeVert, I think needs to be, hopefully he's sort of over those there's health scares and can be a fully functioning healthy player this year for Indiana.
This could be a little bit generous, but they're projected at 42.5 wins.
Yeah, no, under.
I've gone under as well. I think it's probably a little bit too generous for them. I think they'll make the finals.
They should be there thereabouts when it comes to the playoffs. They were another team that was sort of rumored to be in and around those Ben Simmons sweepstakes, you know, possibly with Malcolm Brogdon or a Caris LeVert, but they need those sort of mid-level guys to really step up, because other than that, their bench is not blowing my skirt up at all. Like there's not much there.
Next team is a team that has changed a lot in the last 1 to 2 years in terms of personnel, and that's the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, look, they sort of went all out, and they're all in for that playoff tournament. Whew. Boy, they're all in for that 9th and 10th spot.
Do you like the makeup of their team? They've got Lonzo Ball now. They've got people going about this guy, and I know he was Lakers, but I don't even like him. Alex Caruso, I don't like him, but they've got him.
Oh,
they've
my
got,
God.
No, please. People I know. They got Ball. They got Caruso. They picked up DeMar DeRozan and Derek Jones Jr. in a trade. And I think... Who is their draft pick?
They had a late one.
I'm thinking of Patrick Williams, but I think he was last year's pick, I believe.
Yeah, Patrick Williams was. They traded out. Pretty sure they traded out of the lottery, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I like the makeup of this team, and I think they have nice kind of depth there, personally. They did lose Lauri Markkanen, but they've got Patrick Williams and Derek Jones Jr. and Javonte Green as well. So I don't know. I kind of like their makeup.
They'll be high powered offense. But yeah, they're going to have to be like that, because none of those guys on that team are worth a lick defending. So they'll be a super fun team to watch. The DeMar DeRozan pickup, he didn't even want to be in Chicago. He wanted to be in LA. So I don't know how much that's going to weigh on him throughout the season.
I think there's an interview coming out with him and Draymond Green. Draymond Green loves doing these player interviews, but I think with the interview, I think it came out saying why he decided to go to Chicago over California, because he's a California boy. He loves California. He's just California mad, obviously. DeMar DeRozan is a Compton boy, I'm pretty sure. So they're sitting at 42.5 wins.
Oh,
and
no.
I actually think they can go over that. I like the mix. I do.
Nope.
But we'll see. They're not obviously.
Totally you're telling me that's a 500 team?
Yes. I do think they're a 500 team.
They're all for that playoff spot. Are they playing spot?
Zach
they are
Levine,
coming for it.
And I think it's getting close to the point where a 500 spot is just what it is now for the Eastern Conference. Close enough, at least. Oh my God, these next two tire fight teams. The first is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh man, they just
don't have to spend months on this bad
boy. I don't know what they're doing. They're just trying to unload everybody, but the person they want to unload is Kevin Love, and they can't get rid of him. It's just it's weird what's happening with Cleveland at the moment.
Their death chart is literally all over the shop. You got Jared Allen, which I'm a big fan of, who they re-signed. You picked up Lauri Markkanen.
What a waste him going there. Like he could be. It's so confusing.
For some reason in preseason he played small forward, and this is a guy that's 7 foot, and I mean
close to.
Or he's 6'11". My bad, but that's
there a bit. Oh yeah, that's close enough.
Jesus Christ, yeah, I don't get it. And then they drafted Evan Mobley. Like what?
No, yeah, exactly. Like it's I mean they picked up another, picked up essentially another 7-footer. So, look,
a Rubio too.
Yeah, Ricky Rubio's there. Like that's
a team. It's a weird mix of a team.
It's a strangely put together side. Look, they need their guys. Yeah, from previous. Yeah, they've still kept a lot of their own draft picks. You know, Colin Sexton is still there. Darius Garland is still there. I still like what he can provide. I like what he does.
I like Sexton as well, but I do like Darius Garland.
And look, talks have broken down between him and the Cavs brass there in contract extensions. So I don't know how much that weighs on him. Is that going to be a DeAndre Ayton type situation where does he think he's a max player?
I don't think it will be as bad. I don't think so,
and that's only because of the profile of the team.
And that's probably because they still got that Kevin Love contract there too. They probably don't want to go over that luxury tax.
Why aren't there teams out there clamoring to get K-Love?
You tell me. I think he's okay, but is he? Like that's a lot of money to pay for someone that has been pretty injury prone for these last 2 years.
That's right, but I just don't know how there's 29 other teams out there. Like, so why somebody isn't willing to take a flyer on? I think Cleveland wants too much for him.
It's possible. So they're sitting at 26.5 wins. That's under for me.
Yeah, that's under.
Next team is full rebuild team, and that's the Detroit Pistons.
Oh man, and then just
that's under already.
Have they not been in a rebuild for the last 5 years? Like, I don't know. Yeah, what's look, they picked up the number one draft pick and they got Cade Cunningham.
I don't mind him.
Oh no, he's just a straight out scorer.
Yeah.
So I don't think that will be a big problem for them. But look, they've got top to bottom. It's just not a terrific roster top to bottom. Like, you know, Killian Hayes was, I thought, was a bit of a disappointment last year. They were very close in having Jeremy Grant get the most improved player, but somebody had to get stats on that team. So like Luka Garza, like there was big raps on him coming out of college, coming out of Iowa.
I
think they need to get something out of him. But it's just a makeshift throw together roster as well. Like, I just don't know continuity.
No more so picking up Kelly Olynyk. That's makeshift. So they're sitting at a low 25.5 wins, but that's under.
Yeah, I don't think they can exceed that.
No chance in hell. Next team, the final teams are the Southeast teams, and the first one would be the Miami Heat.
I guess sort of going for an all-in, all-win now situation with
kind of had to be, didn't they? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think so. You know, with trading for Kyle Lowry, they need a significant upstep in Tyler Hero's production from what he dished up last year. I'd heard that the tension between himself and Jimmy Butler was quite high. Throughout that season, I think Jimmy Butler can see that the talent is in him, especially since their unlikely run, I guess, to the NBA Finals essentially 2 seasons ago in the season restart. Not that dirty B word down there in Orlando when they restarted the league. A good sort of veteran pickup in PJ Tucker. Had a bit of a drop off in production last year, which is what Milwaukee would have been wanting with PJ Tucker. Like, his 3-point percentage dropped right off in the playoffs. I guess they
missed a 1-3 game.
No, well, it's your killer. He was a multi killer last year. Good grief.
No, you told me to put him on because he's always destined to get 1-3.
He's always good for a couple of corner threes, but yeah. Look, you know, they've re-signed Duncan Robinson. You know, 5 years, $90 million. I think that's a good signing. But yeah, like I said, you know, the tension between Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero sort of got a little bit out of control, I think, last year there. But Tyler Hero's had a really good preseason.
He has, yeah. He's to me a sneaky most improved player, or possibly a six man even.
Well, I so's Bam. I think Bam can go to another level as well.
I think so. Well, he was pretty poor last year. You know, Yeah, the whole team was. I mean, I suppose you had that expectations of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then sort of
unfairly too. I think it's just one of those anomalies that happened in that restart in Orlando. So, they've absolutely gone all in now. They've still got Victor Oladipo on that squad.
Yeah, they do.
On a majorly cheap contract. So if they can, you know, extract some sort of value out of him, you know, whether it's production on the court or production on the court will, you know, itself bring trade offers. So, you know, they've unloaded an absolute boatload of their own draft picks. So they don't have a lot of draft capital at the moment. So,
they're sitting at 48.5 wins.
48 wins. Like, I don't know. I think that's a little high, but I think with the moves that they've made, I think they can go over that. I might be a little bit more higher on Miami than what you are, but I don't know.
I think
they can go over that.
If the half wasn't there, the half's annoying because I can't even pick. I wanted to pick even on this. If it was 48, I'd be fine. But then I'd say 48 wins. But I think I agree. I think they can go over that. I think they have. They have to. They've built like they have to. So I think they have to.
Offensively, and you know, sort of just team dependency needs to come off a little bit more on Jimmy Butler and needs to be put more onto other guys to be able to make plays, because Jimmy Butler sort of evolved in that game now where he's, you know, wholly and solely sort of get to the rim or have that mid-range kind of game. He's just totally taken the three-pointer out of his arsenal. So that doesn't need to change, but that just means that other guys on that roster have really got to step up. And you know, Duncan, the two young guys that are there in Robinson and Tyler Hero, I think really have to push their stakes to being more worth more on this team.
Next team is the Atlanta Hawks, who pretty much just ran it back. Basically, if you really want to look at it, they ran it back. They didn't really change much, but they didn't really have to, and they brought everybody back, which I kind of like.
Oh, look, I think they majorly overachieved last year, and I don't see that happening again this year. I think pretty
interesting,
pretty straightforward. I don't see that kind of run happening again this year. That's just again with the same thing as with the Miami Heat the year before. Just one of those anomalies. I absolutely don't see that happening again. That will be a good side. Don't get me wrong. They'll be a good side. I don't see them getting anywhere near an Eastern Conference Finals. That's not happening.
So okay, so them sitting at 47.5 wins, you're then what?
No, that's they'll be under that.
Wow. Okay. Oh, well, I'm over. I think they've got the right team. I think they've got the right.
They do. They just everything came together. Just have a look at what happened. You know, once they turfed the coach, and then all of a sudden Nate McMillan's the savior. And
yeah, I think
and
you know.
It's just one of those things. I don't think it can carry over.
So much depth there. They got you know.
They do.
Capella, Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Huerter, who re-signed, Cam Reddish, Bogdan, Lou Williams, Trey Young.
I want to see Cam Reddish. I want to see what he's got.
You know, Trey Young, who shows up to SmackDown when he needs to. So
just to piss the New York crowd off. That's all.
Oh, that was so good. He loves a young.
Look, they had an absolutely magical fairy tale run to an Eastern Conference Finals last year. It's not happening again.
Doesn't he love being the guy that people love to hate? He don't care.
No, he don't care. No, of course he doesn't. He believes in himself. No, it once again, he got that fat rookie extension.
Yeah, yeah.
5 years, 207. Like they've just thrown the kitchen sink right at him, and I hope that doesn't sort of weigh him down with a lot of expectations, because he's got, like, not as if they didn't have expectations on him now, and he will forever be linked into, you know, with Luka Doncic for the rest of his career. But I think that the Kevin Huerter signing is good.
I like him.
They got him at a major discount. Major discount.
Yeah, yeah, they balance the books really well, to be honest.
No, that's right, and I think it was so much, So that, you know, not so much that him took the least money. I think it's one of those things where it's a team friendly deal. It was just one of those things where it was a culmination of everybody playing really well last year. I can't foresee it happening again. Just sorry, Atlanta fans, but it's just is what it is.
No, I think they'll go over 47.5. Next team is the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, look, I think they'll improve.
Yeah, when I tell you they're over under, I think they'll improve on that. So I definitely think they'll improve.
Like I said, LaMelo Ball, he just seems to be an absolute revelation.
How fun is
he? You know, James Booknight, I think, is a good pickup in the draft.
Yeah, me too.
It's Gordon Hayward. Look, he's sort of getting up there in age a little bit now. He's in his 30s. I still think he can be a really good productive player. Other than that, but, you know, is there really much to talk about on their roster? Like that, you know,
Kelly Oubre. I think that's a sneaky good one.
Yeah, I think they're going to be bringing him off the bench. I think that's a really good signing. So, and that's what they need. They need a little bit of bench power. So that'll be really good. Look, Scary Terry sort of still riding the coattails off that one postseason. one postseason that he had with the Celtics. So yeah, whatever he can sort of give you, I think is good as well. But and the lesser known Bridges in Miles Bridges. Still putting people on posters.
The guy that can dunk. Yeah, And I thought you were talking about the lesser known Ball in LiAngelo Ball signing there in the G League. That's what I thought you were about. So they're sitting at 38.5 wins.
No, they're not getting. I don't think they're going to get close to a 500 team. They'll improve on last year, but I don't think their win total will inflate by that much because it was just what else is there to get excited about on that team except for LaMelo Ball?
And that's precisely the reason why I think they'll, and I mean just get over 38 wins. I think it's 39, 40, not 42. Or 41, but 39-40. Oh my God, these next two teams. Well, I don't know. The next team is Washington Wizards.
Look, had an unlikely season resurgence. After having an absolute, just horrific start to the season last year. Are they still listening to offers for Bradley Beal?
Well, the biggest thing is they need to work out what they're going to do with Bradley Beal, because Bradley Beal is in the last year of his contract. So they picked up this guy can produce, Spencer Dinwiddie on the free agency. It was really good with the Nets. And then obviously we mentioned it before, but the trade with the Lakers and picking up Kuzma and Kontavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah, and Montrezl Harrell.
And they've got my boy Rui there as well.
Oh, your boy Rui.
I don't even like. He could play okay, but anyway, I don't know. To me, it all comes to what they're gonna do with Bradley Beal. If Bradley Beal stays there, then I think they'll beat this over that I'm looking at right now. If Bradley Beal stay there. Yeah. Then that's kind of it, and they're overs. Look,
they made a trade with Indiana and got Aaron Holiday, so that they've got a little bit extra sort of, you know, young depth at guard there as well. I thought that the pickup of Spencer Dinwiddie was massive. I thought that was huge. There was a lot of teams that were in the Spencer Dinwiddie sweepstakes, and I did absolutely not think that Washington was even in the mix. Let alone, had any chance of getting him, and they did awesome. I think that's a super pickup.
Well, technically he was traded as part of this 5-team deal that Aaron Holiday was well, but he'll re-sign there. I think that's a great pickup. I think I'm huge Spencer Dinwiddie fan.
Yeah, that's right. And without him being injured last year, like he could have been a major part of Brooklyn possibly winning a title last year.
Exactly. If he wasn't injured last year, they would have. I dare say they would have won last year. Personally,
I think very close. I mean, look, hit us, yeah, hit us with the over under.
34.5
Yeah, I think they go over that.
Yeah, I think they go over that as well. I think.
Yeah, I think just, yeah, like I said, they had a good resurgence at the end of last year. They want to keep, I think that they have improved over the off season. I think they can definitely see an uptick in production last year. Bradley Beal, had some just absolutely insane games last year. Someone who had a down year last year, I think can bounce back is Davis Bertans.
Oh my God, he has to. 5 years, well, 80 million.
He's got no choice. He signed that big contract. He's got no choice. He has to step up.
5 years, 80 million. That will be the worst contract in the NBA if he doesn't. Final team out of our preview is probably the lowest team out of everybody, especially in the win totals. That would be the Orlando Magic.
Still think tough times ahead.
What do we say? I don't know.
Tough times ahead still for Orlando. I think they're no better, no worse than what they were.
No better, no worse. No, that's probably the best way to put it.
Look, Jalen Suggs, I think can help them a lot, but it's still a very youth movement type of team there. Michael Carter Williams, and Etuan Moore are their sort of their older heads there. Like Terrence Ross feels like he's been around forever, but he's only 30. So they've got the Wagner boys there. Wagner brothers. Mo and Franz. I like what Mo Wagner did. In New York last year. Picked up Robin Lopez as well. So, he's sort of still kicking around the joint. Jonathan Isaac, coming off that injury. Wendell Carter, which was not so much a strange pickup. I think he's been a little bit of a disappointment in the way that he sort of has gone about his game, but he's only 22. So
is RJ Hampton. That could be a sneaky good pickup.
He was a disappointing in his rookie campaign as well. So
what are they, 20?
Look, and Gary Harris too. Gary Harris from Denver. So that if he can sort of continue on his trajectory, then he'll provide a little bit of scoring punch for him as well.
They're sitting at 22.5 wins.
They're going to be a very high lottery pick. Look, they might be able to eke out 22 wins. Let's go over.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. I'm under that. They're not going over that. They're the high draft pick.
I think again it'll be them, and Detroit trying to club each other
and
out
Houston,
of who's
possibly.
Gonna get the top.
And Houston. So it'll be the three of them again. It'll be those three again. It'll be very interesting.
I think so. They're all very going to be high lottery picks again next year, unless injury sort of derails one of these lower teams or lower to mid teams, and then they could sort of drop into that realm of possibility. But we said it at the top, the East is definitely improved. I still think they're a very top heavy conference. The middle to lower class teams, I don't think will make any sort of huge improvements.
Well, that is it. We've covered now every single team in the Eastern and the Western Conference in our, preview of the upcoming NBA season. We'll be doing, obviously, a lot of NBA pods and news around. I mean, see how long we can go without mentioning Ben Simmons per every podcast about NBA.
Well, especially at the start of the year, I think there's going to be a lot of mentioning of Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving, that's for sure.
As always, our socials are Twitter at Final Play Pod, Facebook is Final Play Podcast. You can get all our podcasts, obviously, on there, as well as gimco.com.au, Eureka Sports Cards. and I'm gonna get it right, I think, this time. Is it Darren's tips?
Yeah, Darren's tips. He's sort of come on board with us. We've come on board with him. So check him out on Facebook, Darren's Tips. He's based in NZ. He does racing, but he also does NBA and the NFL as well. So he's always putting those up there. So he's on Facebook. So check him out. We'll always give him a bit of a shout out. So it's always good. We got some new people coming on board. So. Always appreciative of what gimco.com.au does for us as well, and Eureka Sports Cards. So they're always backing us, and we'll always back them. So that's like you said, we'll still be pumping out the NBA. The NFL is in full swing. Check out those as well. We're on Spotify, so they're one of the easiest ways to get us there, on Spotify and SoundCloud. So give us a follow, give us a like. So to check us out on those platforms as well.
Excellent. Well, my name's Jason. Let's start this NBA season, Smith.
Yeah, that's right. I'll back those sentiments as well. I'm Miles. Let's get this NBA party started, Plum. So I'm keen, always keen to see how the first sort of couple of weeks, slash month of the NBA season goes, and who sort of makes the step up, and which one of these rookies, any of these rookies, can sort of make a real stamp on the league, like Anthony Edwards sort of did last year, sort of come out of the blocks hard.
Yeah.
I like some of the top rookies that are going around, but no more. I guess, just myself personally invested in Trey Murphy. So I'll like to see what he's got.
I don't really rule out. I just think Scotty Barnes. I don't know. There's something there. It's purely because of how that Houston team's possibly going to go. I wouldn't rule him out as a sneaky, outside rookie pick for the year. Sneaky.
Yeah, no, that's all. We'll get the first month out of the way, and then we start heading towards Christmas. So, once we start to get towards Christmas, we'll know who's who at the zoo, so to speak. But it's always fun and exciting as the NBA season kicks off. It's great.
Okay, have a good week, everyone.
See ya.